path for tefillah. So Rav Nevenzel explains based on the Maimar from Rav Dessler. The pasuk says, "Vayhi bayamim arabim ahem, vayamat melech Mitzrayim, vayenchu bnei Israel min ha'avodah vayizaku." And in those days, the Jewish people were stuck in Egypt, and the king of Egypt died, and the Jewish people screamed, "Vayizaku!" They called out to God. It was such a bad situation. They felt so homeless that they called out to God. What was the result? Vayishma lukim et anakatam. God heard their prayer, their cry. Vayizkor lukim et beito et Avram et Yitzchak et Yaakov. And the pasuk says, and God remembered the covenant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In other words, the Jewish people screamed out in pain, and in the simple reading, Hashem heard their tefillah and decided to redeem them. So there's two questions which come to mind when we read this pasuk. First question is, wait, did Hashem forget the fact that He made a covenant and that He told Avram Avinu that He's going to redeem His people after 400 years? How could God forget? The second question is, but God was pretty explicit. He said, after 400 years, your children will be Gerim, and then there will be Avdus and Inui. There will be slavery and subjugation and pain, and then they'll be redeemed. So what does it matter that they screamed? The time had come. It was time to be redeemed. So, to answer the first question, it seems that the way that Hashem has set up the system of this universe is that through our tefillah we can actually change things. We can change the reality of the universe. That's what's built into the system, is that tefillah can change the spiritual world. And as for the second question, what about the 400 years? It seems that that verse was left purposely stuma, or unclear. Kigeri yezarecha, your children will be dwellers, outsiders, Beretzalehem, Babdu minuotam arba'machana, and there's going to be subjugation and slavery for 400 years. So does that mean that there's going to be 400 years of slavery, or 400 years the entire process of being outsiders? And in some of that process, they'll also be slaves, right? So it was left purposely unclear. And that's why it could have been interpreted many different ways. Did it start that 400 years with the Akedah, with Yitzchak? Did it start with Yaakov going down to Egypt? Or did it actually start when the Jewish people, the 10 tribes, went down to Egypt? It was left unclear. In other words, it was dependent on our tefillah. There were different time periods which could have been there for redemption. And our tefillah would affect whether we would be redeemed at this time period or at that time period. And of course, the same thing is true in our time period. Whether we will be redeemed now or later, there may be set slots, you know, which have been prophesized, but how that those prophecies will be interpreted is based on our tefillah. So now Reb Nevenzel explains that there really are two different pathways into the world of tefillah. There is the pathway of Aser Ritzoncha Kirtzono. Make your will Hashem's will. Raise yourself up to have dveikus with Hashem. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants unity, oneness, Beis Hamikdash, fire, enthusiasm, passion. That's one way of tefillah. But there's another way of tefillah, and that's Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono. Nullify your will before His will. In other words, I am nothing. I'm zero, I'm klum. I don't even have a will. That's whatever Hashem wants. In this place of kind of brokenheartedness. So there's a prayer that comes from excited passion, and there's a prayer that comes from nothingness, and they both have their place. That's also how Rav Nevenzel explains the pshat of the Chassidim Rishonim would wait an hour before they would pray for an hour, and then end off with an hour of tefillah. So the way he explained it is, first they would nullify their will, and then they had no ratzon except Hashem. That was the place they went into tefillah. But then, to go back into the world, you can't be in this place of nothingness, totally. You have to go back to a place of I'm something. Passion. And that was the last hour of meditation, was to bring them back into this world of action so they could go learn a daven and do what they needed to do. In fact, Rav Nemetzer also explains that maybe this is the basis of the machlokes between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. For 13 years, and the Gemara in Erevin says, they're arguing whether better that the world exists or better that the world doesn't exist. The way he explains it, is it really the ideal way of serving Hashem is from a place of action, or is the ideal from this place of nothingness, of total brokenheartedness, and just whatever whatever Hashem wants? This also might explain the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Bet, where the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "Let my son Chanina ben Dosa be the one to pray for my son." And indeed, Chanina ben Dosa davened, and the prayer was heard. So his wife asked him and said, "Is Chanina on a higher level?" He says, "No." Rabbi Yochanan says, "I'm like a prince before God. He is like a servant, an eved. He completely nullifies his will. I have like too much yeshus. I have to go do." Remember, Rav Yochanan was the one who actually saved the Jewish people through his actions. And in certain levels, the servant can go to places where the person who has a little bit of yesh can't. You know, I find this often when I'm davening. Sometimes I want a chazan who mamish brings his heart and soul and gives a passionate, beautiful sing-songy tefillah. And sometimes I just want someone who has no yeshus, who's just nullifying himself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's it. Very simple. And they both have their place. This is, again, my add-on. I think sometimes in Shemona Esrei, we need to start off from this place of bito, Shem Svatai Tiftach, open up my gates, totally just, what do you want, Hashem? No yeshus. Then at the end, get to this passionate place of wanting to, through Slavas and Vekas, raise ourselves up to a Kaddish Baruch. And in life, there are times when we're totally broken. We call out to Hashem from this broken place of nothing. It's kind of like Slichos at the Koisel. Ben Adam, Malach Ani Adam, nothing. The end of Yom Kippur. Ma'anu Machayinu, what are we? We're nothing, totally nullifying ourselves. And just totally, Kivikam, I'm nothing before you. And there are other times when they go out and say, Hashem, and scream, Hashem, I want to be close to you. Holy chutzpah, Rabbi Nachman. They both have their place. May Hashem bless us to know that our tefillahs really matter. Tefillahs can, no matter where they're coming from, if they're from their heart, they can totally save lives, save our own soul, save the entire soul, the entire world. It's dependent on our tefillahs, especially during this time period, especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Whether it's coming from a place of deep brokenness or deep vekus, ma'amakim, it should come from the depth. Hashem should bless us with a beautiful day of tefillah and a beautiful time of tefillah. It's that time of year again. Just bring wherever you're at and bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the Holy Kosel. Have a beautiful day.